Welcome to the Hashimoto's Healing Podcast. I'm Chelsea, a fellow Hashimoto's warrior and registered dietitian, and I'm here to help you through your Hashimoto's healing journey and get you feeling good. Yes. Each week we will dive deep and provide you with tips, tricks, and everything you need on your healing journey from myself and some amazing guests in the community. If you're ready to start ditching those Hashimoto's symptoms and jump headfirst into your healing journey, then stick around. Let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Oh my gosh, this week I have such an amazing guest. The PCOS queen is here, Corinne Angelica. Guys, she is like the, I swear to God, like the only person I trust with PCOS stuff after I was diagnosed. December. Do you remember, Corinne? I was like in your DMs. I'm like, I need help. But I'm so glad you're here and we could chat all about this. And I would love to just welcome you here to the Hashimoto's Healing Podcast.
Yay. I'm so happy to be here, Chelsea. I cannot wait to chat with you of all the things that I love to talk about.
Yay. Me too. So good. So Corinne, like, let's just start out, introduce yourself, tell us what you do, your story, all that cool stuff.
Yeah. So I'm Corinne. I am a certified holistic nutritionist. So now I help women heal their PCOS by addressing the root cause. I also work with people who don't have PCOS and just balance their hormones in general, but by addressing the root cause and doing it in a holistic way and knowing that the mind, body, emotions, everything is all connected. So using like nutrition, lifestyle supplementation to heal instead of medication or deprivation, which is a lot of times the advice we get from doctors when we do get a PCOS diagnosis. Mm-hmm. I was a teacher for 9 years. I resigned last year in August of 2020 to do this full time. And I really got into this because I have PCOS and I was misdiagnosed without it for so many years. But I was experiencing so many different problems. My periods were always irregular. They went missing for a full 2 years. I had excess testosterone. So it was showing up as excess facial hair. And I had a lot of body bloating issues and digestive issues. And I was diagnosed with IBS, like all these things. I had migraines, like so many different things. And everyone just wanted me to go on medication. And I really didn't want to do that. So I went back to school and here we are.
Wow. Yes. I mean, your story is so similar to so many other women that I speak to. I mean, I'm sure you know, and for those listening, Hashimoto's, it's very common to have other autoimmune diseases like PCOS, including myself. And you know, it's something that we don't think are connected, but actually isn't one of, there's different types of PCOS, right? So why don't we start, Levy, before I like jump into this question, can you give us like a little background of what PCOS is and what's happening in our bodies with PCOS?
Yeah. So it's like, it says it's just a reproductive disorder, but it's really like an inflammatory endocrine disorder. It's like a full metabolic disorder. It really affects every area of your body. Mm-hmm. And so there are different types, meaning just that there are different root causes that you could, that could trigger it. Right. So there needs to be so much more research on PCOS, as you know, as we know, women's reproductive disorders don't get, you know, top ranking for research, but there are different types. So there's the insulin resistant PCOS, and I'll go into them, inflammatory PCOS, post-pill PCOS, and then adrenal PCOS. So the insulin resistant PCOS is probably most common, and that can show up symptom wise as if you are really gaining weight rapidly, or you have a really hard time losing weight, you experience a lot of cravings. Mm-hmm. You are having like fatigue throughout the day. Maybe you have sleep disturbances. These are all symptoms of blood sugar dysregulation. Mm-hmm. And this could also trigger high testosterone levels, which will look like either acne, excess facial hair, hair loss. And then inflammatory PCOS, they kind of go hand in hand, because when you have inflammation in your body, or when you are insulin resistant, it could cause inflammation in your body. So right. They kind of go together. For me, I believe mine started with inflammatory PCOS, and then it kind of like morphed into other things because it was just unaddressed for so long.
Right.
The inflammatory PCOS could show up a little bit more of the digestive issues of like, you know, bloating, constipation, gas, a lot of that. Also the high testosterone, because inflammation, causes high testosterone levels as well. So still that acne, excess facial hair, hair loss, all of that too. You can have joint pain. With the inflammatory PCOS, you might not experience as much of the weight loss resistance. So many people think that you have to be overweight to have PCOS, right. And that's not true. And I think it's omitting so many people from it. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things my doctor, my gynecologist told me. He's like, no, you don't have PCOS. Like, you're not overweight. And I was like, okay, like that's so not true. But now at the time I didn't know. And then post-pill PCOS is when you, are on birth control and then you come off and then you start experiencing symptoms of regular periods. You're not ovulating, and the irregular periods and all that is with all forms of PCOS. There's three different criteria that we could go into too, if you want, of how you actually get diagnosed with PCOS, because it is a collection of symptoms, which is why it could be sometimes hard to diagnose.
Don't you need like 2 out of 4, something like that, to be diagnosed?
Yeah. So with the Rotterdam criteria, it's 2 out of 3 that you need to have. So the 3 criteria is 1, anovulatory cycles, or that just means you're not ovulating. So you're not regularly getting your period. And a regular period just looks like it's consistently coming anywhere between, there are different ranges that people give. Some people say between 21 and 35 days. I'm more comfortable with clients being between 25 and 35 days of your cycle, and give or take a couple of days, it's consistently coming every month like that. Right. So that's one criteria. The second one is high androgen levels, which androgens just mean high male hormones. So it could be high testosterone or high DHEA. And that again presents like what we talked about, acne, excess facial hair, hair loss, and or cysts on your ovaries. So you don't actually have to have cysts on your ovaries to have PCOS, which is another thing that a lot of times goes misdiagnosed because of that. So you just have to have 2 out of those 3.
Right. And I thought, and correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't hypothyroidism a type of PCOS, or is that just a...
It's not a type of PCOS, but it's linked to PCOS. It's something that you could, it's like, it could also be like, what came first? Was it your thyroid issues that then triggered the PCOS, or was it PCOS that then triggered the thyroid? You know, because with the PCOS, when you have irregular cycles, you're not regularly producing the hormone progesterone because you're not ovulating, and progesterone is super important for thyroid.
Right.
So, you know, they are very connected, but it's not technically a type of, not that I've seen anyway.
Yeah. Cause I know that, like, obviously with Hashimoto's, hypothyroidism is very common. Thus PCOS is very common. And a lot of women with Hashimoto's disease tend to go undiagnosed with other autoimmune diseases, because just like PCOS, there's no one studying thyroid issues, which is so silly. But so let's chat about more of, because you were listing off all the symptoms of all the different types. And I'm like, okay, Hashimoto's. I'm like, it's so crazy how our bodies give us all these signals to tell us something's wrong. And it's up to us to kind of need to be our own investigators almost, because like you said, your PCOS went undiagnosed for so long, and they didn't even want to diagnose you because you weren't gaining weight rapidly or anything like that, which is a struggle for most women with Hashimoto's, is the weight gain. So I'd love to just talk about kind of, you know, not only being your own advocate, but, you know, more of the relationship between PCOS and Hashimoto's, but also just getting a diagnosis so you know what the first steps are.
Yeah. So I think it's just also more awareness of what's going on in your body and knowing what's not normal and what is normal.
Right.
So many, you know, things we hear in society, like painful periods are normal, really, really heavy periods are normal. Like it's just part of being a woman. Or, you know, my gynecologist told me it was fine to have 3 to 4 periods a year. So I was like, okay, cool. Like I never looked further into it. And I thought that was insane. I thought I was the only person that would ever be told that. And then now working in this space, so many women have been told the same thing. I'm like, that's so crazy that they're telling people this.
Yeah.
So having awareness and knowing that everything is connected. So if you are experiencing digestive issues or you're having rapid weight gain and you're, you know, you're eating less, you're working out more, you're doing all the things that they tell you to do and still things aren't working, know that everything is connected. And just if you're not having a specific period problem, that doesn't mean that it's not a reproductive problem or there isn't a form of imbalance there, because that's how it went undiagnosed for me for so long. Cause my periods were always irregular, but I really didn't care. Honestly, I was young. I wasn't trying to get pregnant at the time. I didn't think it mattered. I didn't have the education around it. So I didn't start investigating until things started really bothering me, like the facial hair, like the bloating, like all that stuff. So I think just having awareness around what's actually going on in your body, getting like really clear on like how you feel. Cause also we tend to minimize things if it's been going on for such a long time and just like deem it as normal. So doing that, being your own advocate, like reading up on it, like start looking stuff up. There's so many books and things now, like there's so many good PCOS books. Blanking on the name right now. I'll remember it. And it's, PCOS SOS is a great book. But anyway, just like really learning about it. And then when you do go to the doctor, if you are someone who really doesn't want to go the medication route, which I really didn't, it's could be really hard to deny it when they're pressuring you and, and making you think that that's the only quote unquote solution. But if you are someone who is like us who want to take more of a natural approach, and listen, there's a time and place for medication. Like I'm not saying that you should never go on medication. There's for sure a time and place, but I do believe that we deserve to have more options than just birth control or something else, and know that there are so many things you could do nutritionally and lifestyle wise to actually heal your symptoms. I forgot what the main question was.
I don't know if there was one.
Did I answer it? I don't even know.
Oh yeah. No, totally. But okay. I think, you know, it's so crazy. You know, I was diagnosed with PCOS in December, and it mostly was because I had a lot of similar symptoms coming back to when I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's, back in like 2015, 20, whenever, I don't even remember. And it's so crazy how much your body really does tell you something's wrong. And if I didn't go back to the doctor and was like, hey, things ain't right, you know? And I also think we forget that our thyroid produces hormones that affect our reproductive tract. And then our reproductive tract has hormones that affect our thyroid. So it's all connected. And when one thing's off, usually it's all kind of off. So if you have thyroid issues like Hashimoto's and you have irregular cycles, unfortunately, that is common. That doesn't mean you have PCOS, but it is common, but it's not normal.
Right. Exactly. That's what it is. I always say, I'm like, these things are common, but they're not normal. And it's just, it's been normalized because people like think it's like funny and like, we'll like be like, oh, I need, you know, this is my eighth cup of coffee. Got to get through the day with the eighth cup of coffee. Like, oh, of course it's painful. It's my period. Like people make it into like this glamorized thing and just to make a joke out of it. And it makes it seem normal.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think that, you know, that's the industry, you know, I don't want to get too into like pharmaceuticals or anything like that, but they make a lot of money off of birth control and things that we do and things that women take and our hormones. And it just kind of, listen, there's a, like we've said, you know, I'm a firm believer there's time and place for all medication. It is a great tool to have in your tool belt if you need it 100%, but that's not usually the only thing that can help you. Meaning if you need medication in conjunction to medication, mindset, nutrition, lifestyle changes are going to really help your life improve, not just the symptoms that you're trying to cover up or mask or whatever the medication is doing for you. So I think that what you and I both teach, Corinne, is that, you know, you inevitably know your body better than anyone ever. And when it comes to PCOS and Hashimoto's, since they are so tightly integrated and affected by one another, you know, like what would you say is your number one piece of advice to someone who comes to you, like they're just diagnosed, what the heck is going on with my body? Like where to start?
Yeah. So That's a really, really great question. There's so many directions I could go with that. First of all, know that you're going to be okay. Like there are so mm-hmm. many, cause it could be really scary. Cause some, you know, and again, I'm not like shitting on the medical community. Sorry. I don't know if I curse on here. Okay. But you know, a lot of times they will tell people with PCOS, you know, you're going to have a really hard time getting pregnant. You're never going to be able to get pregnant. You're always going to be overweight. You're always going to struggle with this stuff. And depending on your experience with it, knowing that there are solutions to healing whatever is going on with you, and to take the first step and to either read up on it, work with somebody who knows what's actually going on instead of wasting so much time like I did, trying to do it all by myself and feeling like you're alone, because you're totally not alone. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of thousands of people who are going through the same thing. So knowing that there are other solutions, that it's not like a death sentence, which sometimes it could feel like that. And that it's almost a gift in a way. I like to think of it like this, because it's making you improve your overall health in the process, because you're forced to. Like if you don't want to feel the way you're feeling right now, you have to make a change. And that change is just improving your overall health, because balancing your hormones is just inevitably improving your overall health. So it's just putting you on this journey and this path that's going to improve every area of your life. So trying to switch your mindset around it, I think, is like one of the first things to do. Because if you're in that like victim mentality, or if you're really like, of course, like have your moment, like have your pity party, like whatever, like be upset about it, like have your moment, but then also know that there's so many things you could do about it. It really is, at least you know, and now that you could do something about it, it's going to improve your health in the process. And you could find a community of other women that are going through it with you, so you don't feel like you're alone, and really just make it something that's going to improve your quality of life. And think of it like that. I think that's like the first step to take. And of course, reaching out to someone who could help you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I read all of these, you know, I'm very interested in PCOS and hormones in general, just because Hashimoto's and PCOS, but, you know, there's all of these people out there saying that you have to be gluten-free, you have to be dairy-free, you have to be this, you have to be that. And I know what I teach in my program is that, like, I can't tell you what you have to be or not be, because I'm not you. But, you know, how would you, like, can we talk about a little bit about nutrition and lifestyle when it comes to PCOS and Hashimoto's?
For sure. So I totally believe every person has a different situation, dietary needs, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But there are some common denominators of foods that are inflammatory. So again, you have inflammatory PCOS, you're really struggling with your digestion, your bloating, your IBS, like all these things. I do believe there is a period of time where removing dairy first, that would be like my number one, especially if you're struggling with digestive issues, is something that's going to really support you, because it is super inflammatory and it really does inflame your gut. And there are properties in it that affect your hormones, just because you're ingesting another mammal's hormones, right? So it is going to affect your hormone levels. Mm-hmm. Most people, once they do it, feel better and they're like, okay, this is amazing. And then that doesn't mean you have to give it up forever. It could just mean that, you know, when you do have it, maybe you don't feel great, so you don't have it as much. But once there's a period of time where you try it, you cut it out for, I say at least a month or two for the dairy, and then put it back in. If you feel fine after putting it back in, then okay, it's not a problem for you. Mm-hmm. But I do recommend that for especially for inflammation levels and digestive issues and migraines and heavy periods, all those things that come with it, because a lot of times it's a trigger for people. Of course, you could also get a food sensitivity test and that kind of a situation, but it doesn't always show up. So it's really just listening to your body. And same thing for gluten, try it out and see if it helps you, because why not? Like, why wouldn't we just try doing these things? It could seem really overwhelming, but there's so many alternatives now that it makes it a lot easier than it did when I first was on this journey. It was like, there was no gluten-free things. It tasted like crap. Like, it was so hard to do that. Now it's a lot easier. It's not easy, but you know, it's more simple now, but I do believe in trying it, depending on what your symptoms are, seeing if you improve, but also not being scared of food and knowing you could add it back in and see how you do, or you can have it once in a while. It's just like changing your perspective around it and making more of the focus of what you're eating, like nutrient dense foods, like you know, lots of veggies, dark leafy greens, healthy fats, like all this stuff, to really make sure that you are improving your nutrient density, because that's a huge thing. Nutrient deficiencies are huge for hormones as well. Right. And you're supporting your gut, you're supporting your blood sugar. So I do think there is a time where I like to have my clients try taking it out and see how they do, right, and then add it back in if they need to.
Yeah. Like I call it an experiment, because it's simply taking, you know, seeing how you feel with something and then seeing how you feel without it. And then as an adult, making the decision on based on how you feel with or without that food. But, you know, I think the beauty of allowing yourself to view it as an experiment and take the time to really learn what works best for your body, which is what I teach in my programs, is that you still have food freedom. You could still enjoy gluten-free, dairy-free pizza. It's still pizza. It's delicious. You could still have, right? Like, and I think that that's the mindset shift that a lot of women miss when they are diagnosed with PCOS or Hashimoto's, is that they immediately think they have to remove all these foods and it just becomes like another diet. And then, you know, we wonder why our symptoms aren't going away. We are, you know, the off falling off the bandwagon whole thing. And, you know, and that's why I think having support through experimenting is also really important. Especially when it comes to a new diagnosis, if you don't know how to know your body and the messages it's giving you, it's important to have someone who can teach you how to do that, so that you never have to wonder for the rest of your life why you need to be like rolled out of the restaurant and unbutton your pants on the way home, you know?
Exactly. No, it's so true. Like, I had no idea where this stuff was coming from. Like, it was like a mystery to me. I had no clue. And it's so frustrating. And to just reiterate what you said about the, you know, feeling like you can't eat anything with getting rid of dairy, getting rid of gluten. Mm-hmm. We focus on those two things that we quote unquote can't have. I don't even like saying that, just we choose not to have, when there's so many other things that are there for you to have. So like focus on all the other foods, right? And then use the alternatives. And once you take it out, and you, most people again will feel better, especially with these diagnoses, mm-hmm, whatever, you will feel so much better. And you won't even want to go back. Or sometimes you will, and you'll be like, oh, I felt super bloated again, like it wasn't worth it. And then that, once you do that experiment, like you said, that will give you the motivation you need to continue going. And you won't even look at it and be like, oh, it's something I missed, because you're not going to miss all the symptoms that come along with it.
Exactly. I think one of the most important lessons that I learned on my own healing journey from both Hashimoto's and PCOS, and PCOS was much more recent, is that it doesn't have to be this miserable, restrictive process. You know, food is my love language. I've been on every single diet out there since I was 8 years old. You know, like, I'm tired of feeling like all that matters is my weight and the food I can't have, because to be honest with you, I'm a rebel when it comes to food. I'm a classic binge eater. I will secretly go and, you know, have the food that I'm not supposed to, or whatever the crazy rules were. And, you know, I think one of the biggest lessons we can learn is that your hormones need good food, and your body is going to tell you what it needs. So if you have a craving and you have, you know, your body's going to tell you what it needs. Now, we could get into food freedom and intuitive eating with PCOS and Hashimoto's, which maybe we will on another episode, and have you back on. But, but I really think that one good thing when it comes to foods that are good for your hormones is that most of the foods that are good for your thyroid are great for PCOS.
Yes.
And, you know, since they are very similar and connected, I think that even if you don't have PCOS or you don't have Hashimoto's, you're still benefiting the different organs. So like, you're still benefiting the thyroid, you're still benefiting your ovaries, your reproductive tract, your uterus, all that good stuff. Yeah. So I think that that's an important key thing here too. And, you know, I know that there's a ton of you can Google anything and find all this crazy, crazy stuff on the internet on how to heal PCOS, how to heal Hashimoto's. I mean, gosh, I swallowed whole garlic cloves for like 3 months thinking I was going to cure. It was disgusting.
Oh my God,
horrible. But it was, that's when I was first diagnosed. I read it on someone's blog. And I think we have to remember that it gets to be easy and it gets to be enjoyable. And you can, you just have to listen to your body and trust that this isn't a life sentence.
Yeah. It's just a lifestyle change. Mm-hmm. Like that's like really what it is. And with the garlic cloves, I tried so many random things too. And it's because we would like, we'd rather have just like a pill we could do or a cleanse we could do real quick or something like that. But it's really just going back to the fundamentals of like drinking a lot of water, having a lot of nutrient dense foods, getting quality sleep, managing your stress levels, like being conscious of the products and the toxicity levels. Like it's the non-sexy things that actually work and not like the eating 4 cloves of garlic every day or, you know, like the random things that I would have tried too, because we think it has to be so complicated, but it could be super simple. And that's what's really most effective.
Also, I think having the mindset that like, this is our life. I'm tired of feeling like crap all the time. Yeah. That's how I felt. That's honestly why I went back to the doctor and I got my PCOS diagnosis, is because I was just like, this sucks. Like feeling like crap every single day again.
Yeah.
Like I already did this, you know, like why something's wrong. And I'm tired of feeling sick and tired. And lo and behold, something was wrong. And I listened and I caught it early enough. And I did use a combination of medication and more holistic measures. And it really, I mean, gosh, I thought my life was ending. I was like, great, Hashimoto's, hypothyroidism, I had PCOS, insulin, I got diagnosed with all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, what, like, it's so overwhelming. And even as someone who's knows about this stuff, I was like, I don't even like, do I cut all this crap out of my diet? Do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? And it turns out I just needed to listen and trust and really show up for myself, my mental health, my gut, my thyroid. And I'm feeling, I mean, I got pregnant, which was great. We were not expecting to get pregnant that fast.
Talking about it, I was like, oh my God.
I know I'm very lucky, but you know, I know it's a big fear of women when they get diagnosed with, and a lot of women get diagnosed with Hashimoto's and PCOS and hypothyroidism in the same day.
So overwhelming.
It's so overwhelming. And I think that's the beauty of both of our Instagrams and our, you know, our programs and stuff, is that we've done all the overwhelming crap for you. Like we both lived it and did it and read, you know, I ended up on page 27 of Google. I don't know if you know that, but that's a really dedicated search. Okay.
That is intense.
You know, and it's, I think, I, like you said, I think of it as a gift too, because I wouldn't be able to be here speaking about all of this same as you if I didn't go through it, and I wouldn't get to help women not go through what I went through.
Yeah, exactly. It's so true. I'm like, thank God it happened, because this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And if it didn't, like, I don't even know where I would be. Right. Like, and it's just, and once you, obviously when you first get diagnosed, you're not going to be like, yay, like so excited about it. But like, it really, like you could come to a place eventually, and it takes time. We also are in such an instant gratification society where we want things like immediately.
Yeah.
But it does take time, especially if you think about, this has probably been going on for years and like unaddressed. So it's going to take time to heal it, but it comes eventually, comes to a time and comes to a place where it's just your life now. Like you just live it in this way and you feel so great. Like you feel better, way better than you did before. I mean, it's like night and day. Like it is so possible for you. So I just like want everyone to know that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the word empowered, sorry if you hear alarms, guys, so I have something's happening outside. you know, the word empowered is a big part of my, you know, what I do and what I speak about. And I feel like this is just so fitting for this conversation, because, you know, to wrap all of this up, guys, you know your body better than anyone. You know your body better than I know your body, better than Corinne knows your body. And you get to learn what works for your body with PCOS, with Hashimoto's, with hypothyroidism, with insulin, you know, whatever you have going on. And it's okay to cry about it and be pissed off. And I mean, gosh, I was messaging my coach this morning, I'm having, in, you know, my blood sugar levels are like off. And I'm like, I'm so effing frustrated. Like, what more can I do? Like, we go through it too. So just know that you're not alone, and that like you get to work on yourself for the first time in your life. You get to do something just for you to feel as good as you can.
Yes. And like by you doing that, it's a ripple effect. People around you, whether they have PCOS or Hashimoto's or not, they're going to see you improving your lifestyle, and it's going to inspire other people to do it. And it's also changing the generational future of your family. If you are someone who does want to extend your family, like it's just such a ripple effect.
Right. Yeah. I love it. Love it. Love, love it. So Corinne, what would you say? And we're going to wrap it up with this last question. It's going to be a loaded question. So get ready. Yes. What is like the number one thing you can give to my listeners about Hashimoto's and PCOS that they can start implementing right now?
Okay. So my number one thing is always something that people don't want to hear, but it's sleep. It's getting quality sleep, because it is impossible. It's impossible to have healthy hormones if you are sleep deprived. It's just never going to happen. And again, it's not like a cool supplement that people would probably rather do, but it's sleeping, getting like 8 hours of sleep, depending on where you're at in your journey, especially with Hashimoto's, you might need more than 8 hours of sleep at certain times. Like listen to your body, but really prioritizing your sleep, because that helps so much with the insulin resistance. That actually helps more so than cutting out sugar with sleeping with insulin resistance. There's been studies that showed more people are having insulin problems if they're getting less sleep than having like, you know, some form of sugar. Yeah. So sleep, that's my number one thing, is really prioritizing that. Like I know a lot of times we'll just be like, oh, I have to get up and only get 6 hours of sleep so I can fit a workout in the morning, or I'm staying up late working, but it's like, it's more important for you to sleep than to get that workout in, especially in the beginning of your journey, which wherever you're at. So sleep is my number one priority, like 8 hours, like ideally before 11, and just really like creating like a sacred little bedtime routine where like you read or whatever, like get your essential oils, like really make it a priority, and it's going to change everything.
Yes. I love it. I totally agree. Sleep is like, we forget to make it a priority, and it is so freaking important. I love it. Yes. I love it, Corinne. So tell us more where we can find you, what you have going on right now, how we can work with you, and all that fun stuff.
Yes. Okay. So you can find me on Instagram at Corinne Angelica. You can check out my podcast called Mind Your Hormones. So many good things over there. Chelsea is going to be coming on my podcast there too. Super excited. I run group coaching programs. So I have one called Mind Your Hormones 101, and that's a 12-week group coaching program that is designed for you, if any of this connected with you. It's really teaching you how to understand your body, learn about the signs and symptoms that are going on, and how you can heal it naturally. So depending on when you're listening to this, I might be in the middle of a round, but you could find that out on my Instagram whenever you're listening to this. And I have another group coaching program also called Honor Your Cycle. And that's more if you are in a space where you're more regulated out. So if you're not like just diagnosed, you've kind of been on this journey for a little bit, and now you want to learn how to sync your cycle using the different phases of your cycle with nutrition, lifestyle, all that stuff. So depending on when you're listening to this, depends on if things are open or not, but you can find all the information on my Instagram or on my podcast.
Love it. And all that will be linked below, guys. So make sure you check that out. And if you have any other questions about PCOS and Hashimoto's, make sure you leave a review below, and we'll jam out and answer on another podcast episode. I would love to have you back, Corinne. But thank you so much for today. This was so good. I think, you know, those listening can learn a lot from both of our pages. And if you have both Hashimoto's and PCOS, come hang out with us over on Instagram and let us know what you thought of this episode. Thanks, Corinne, for coming.
Thank you, Chelsea. I had such a good time.